every time and every minute we spend on earth may show that we are living in harmony with the will of the Lord, and we are living in memory of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege you have given to us to be part of today's Holy Communion celebration. We thank you because you wanted us to remember that the power of the blood poured on the cross because of us is still at work, and it can free us today as it did in the past time. So bless every one of us, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.
Amen, amen. Can we give God a round of applause for that wonderful moment? Thank you very much, Reverend, and the elders, for leading us so well. Good morning, church. It is such an honor and a privilege for me to be standing in front of you this morning to share God's word. So we are in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we are going to read from verse 26. Luke chapter 1 from verse 26. Bible says, in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his word and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive, is in her 6 months. And then verse 37, "For no word from God will ever fail." In other version, it says, "For nothing is impossible with God." And verse 38 says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of God. So in the next few minutes, I'm going to share with you on a topic entitled, "For Nothing is Impossible with God." Can you tell that to your neighbor with assurance? For nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And I know that we all have this kind of question, like the one Mary asked the angel, "How will this be? How can it be? How will this be to raise maybe a family in this particular context? How will this be to succeed in our businesses, in all our endeavors, as we are going through a country or a region that has been plagued by war for so many years?" We have that question. How can it be possible in this kind of environment to raise our children? And maybe for someone is, "How can I? How will this be? How will I achieve maybe this goal? How will I finish my studies with all the challenges that I'm facing today?" Well, I came here to remind us that Christmas is also for us a time to reflect on who God is. And one of the things that Christmas teaches through the story of Mary is that we serve a God who is able to do the impossible, who is not limited to our capacity, but he is way beyond, above us, above everything that we can fathom. Amen? This English minister, he lived in the 18th or 19th century. His name was George Miller. And George Miller was one of the greatest men of faith that the English or the Britain had ever known. Established many orphanages in England. And one day, a story is told that when he was in the orphanage and he was running these orphanages depending on God because he was a man of faith, and one day they ran out of food in that orphanage. And when they ran out of food, he set the table just like he used to do. There was no food, but he asked the children, "Come, all of you, come and let us assemble to the dinner table because we are going to eat today." And so he set the table, brought the kids around, although there was no food there. And the kids were very surprised. They were looking at each other. They were like, "Is he okay? There's something wrong maybe in his head." And so one of the children had the courage to stand up and ask George Miller, "Well, you are asking us to come around the table, but we are not seeing any food here." And Mr. Miller answered that he knew that, "I know that there's no food here, but we should give thanks anyway. We should give thanks anyway." And he prayed and he thanked the Lord for his promise to give them their daily bread and to meet their needs. So he prayed. And he prayed and reminded the Lord that he was busy doing his business. So he told God, "I'm busy. This is God's work. This is your work. You called me to this place. And these children are hungry. So God, do something about it. Do something about it." And so at the conclusion of his prayer, he heard someone knocking at the door. Someone knocking at the door, and it was the baker at the street corner. And that baker said to them that he felt compelled to bring his leftover to the orphanage. And because they have not sold all what they had baked that day, he decided to bring those leftover to the orphanage. And so this is one just example of a God who acts when we believe, when we choose to believe. Amen? When we choose to believe. And one of the things that we need to know is that anything we believe about God will affect how we live, will affect our identity. Because the most important thing about us is what we think God is, what we think about God. Because if you believe that this God is a God who can do exceedingly abundantly, more than what we can imagine, then we will live with a different perspective. You will not be limited by the challenges you see. You will not be limited by the realities that life can bring to you. Amen? And so we have Mary, who has a visit from an angel. Mary, who is living in a very small town called Nazareth. As you may know, Nazareth is what we can call a forgotten town. I don't know where you live, but Nazareth is one of those towns that people don't talk much about. Nazareth was not famous. Nazareth was not that great city. It was really like a village. Amen? It was like a village. And this is where God chose to send the angel. This is why God chose to even brought up his son. Nazareth did not have a good reputation. In fact, if you read in John chapter 1, verse 47 and 46, there is something that we find there. When Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophet also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." When Nathanael heard Nazareth, he said, "Can anything good come from there? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And I believe that many people, when they look at our region in the news, when they look at Goma in the news, when they look at Congo and the reputation that we might be having on the international scene, they may ask the same question, "Can anything good come out of Goma or Congo?" Well, Christmas is here to remind us that it's in the most unexpected place, the most unexpected place that God chooses to bring out the best. It's in those most unexpected places that God to bring out the best, that God chooses to bring about his purposes. We are not outside of the purpose of God just because we are in an environment that seems to be forgotten. Amen? God is here with us. We are still in God's plan, no matter where we are, no matter how forgotten we may be feeling, God is here with us, amen? And this is a message to the people who are maybe not proud of their origins. Those people who are not maybe proud of their place of residence. You know, there are some people that you ask them the question, so where do you live? And they feel a bit, you know, shy. They don't want to tell you. This is a reminder that no matter where you are, God does not forget you. You may feel like you are in those places that do not have a good reputation, but God is beyond those things. He can reach you wherever you are, amen? He can reach you even there. And who knows? And who knows if God did not intend for us to be here so that we can be testimony that he is at work in places like this one. And I think Mary is one of those people because that's where Jesus grew up. That's where Jesus grew up. And that name, Jesus of Nazareth, became his name. He was known as someone from Nazareth. And one of the things we know about the angel who announced that Jesus was resurrected, he said, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. The first person in history who resurrected is from Nazareth, the forgotten place. Amen? So God is at work, even if we feel like we are in a forgotten place. He is a God of the outcast. Amen? He's a God of the outcast. Another thing that we can see is that God gives favor. Everything that the angel said to Mary is also can be applied to us. He said to Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. God favor whoever he wants. It's not because you are the brightest. It's not because you are the wealthiest. But God favors whoever he wants. And we are not outside of the reach of God's favor. That's another reminder of Christmas today, is that we are not outside of the reach of God's favor. He gives his favor to whoever he wants, where he wants, and to whom he wants. And I believe that he can bring up great leaders, people who will bring about transformation and who will make this world a better place, even from places like this one. Because his favor does not count where you are from. It doesn't count where you are from. God doesn't just use a special category of people. All of us are beneficiary of God's grace. All of us. All of us are candidate. Amen? All of us are candidate. And the other thing that we can see is that if we want to see God doing the impossible in our lives, if we want to see God doing amazing things that we can't even fathom, our first reply when he comes to us should be a reply of faith. We must submit because God's power, God's omnipotence is revealed to those who submit to him in faith and humility. And this is what we see with Mary. She submitted in faith and humility because at the end, even if she was like, how can this be? How can this be? Because she had her doubt. She has her doubt. How will this be since I am a virgin? And yet, when the angel told her what God will do through her, she just submitted and said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. That's an answer of faith and humility. That's an answer of faith and humility. And I believe that's what God is calling us to. And remember that Mary was called favor before she even made that declaration of faith. Because it's our faith that enables us to take possession of what the favor of God has already made available to us. When you respond by faith, when you respond in faith, you get to access everything that the favor of God has made available to you. That's what faith does. That's what faith does. Amen? That's what faith does. And so, another thing that we can see as we read forward is that in verse 45 of the same chapter, when Mary went to see Elizabeth, Elizabeth told her something really, really powerful. She said, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. That's another blessing that we have from believing what the Lord has said to us. Because there is a blessing not only in walking by faith, but from the moment you believe, you are blessed. There is a blessing in believing. Believing that God is able to do what he has said he will do is a blessing. That's what Elizabeth was declaring to God. From the moment we believe, we are blessed. And that's applied to us. And that doesn't mean that our lives will be anything easier. No. Mary's yes to God was also a yes to all the risk and the consequences of being an unmarried pregnant girl in those ancient times. But because she believed, she was blessed. And whoever God called, he also walked with them. He walked with them and he opened the doors so that his purpose may come through. Amen? So that his purpose may come through. So if we can remember three things from this message this morning. The first one is that even if we are in forgotten places, God chooses even those forgotten places to bring about his purposes. We are not outside of God's purpose, even if we may feel forgotten. The second thing is that the favor of God is available to everyone. And it's just a matter of us believing in the message, believing in the proposition, you know, the declaration that God is coming to us and he wants to walk in partnership with us so that we may bring about his purpose here on earth. Amen. And we must also remember from this message that it's our faith. It's our faith that unlocks the door to the favors that God has made available to all of us. Let me just end with this testimony in just the next 3 minutes. This year, the youth ministry of this church, as you may know, organized youth camp. We had a biblical camp in Bukavu. And so we went to Bukavu, and my family and I, Dr. Abel's family, we went with the youth there and some of our pastors here. But we also wanted to take, as a family, we also wanted to take that opportunity to apply for a passport for my wife. So we went there, we reached Bukavu with the young people. We just allowed them to get into the bus so that they can go to the center that was to accommodate us when we were there in the camp. And us, guys, we went to the city to apply for the passport. So we went there with Dr. Abel, his children, my wife. And so we were many, and we took a very small taxi, and the taxi was really packed. And since the taxi was packed, I chose to take my bag, my backpack, and put it in the trunk of the car. So I put the bag in the trunk of the car, and we went to the center of, you know, where you capture your passport, you capture for your passport. So we got to the center, and I forgot my bag in that taxi. So the taxi guy left us at the center. And he left with my bag, with all the money that was needed for the application, with my own passport, everything. The taxi guy went with it. And we realized that after he left. And then after realizing that, we were really panicked and everything. And then Dr. Abel and all of us, we decided, let's pray. And we asked around, we asked the motorbike guys, where can we find this taxi guy? They said, it's going to be really hard. But since he hasn't left for a long time, just go and stand at the roundabout. It's a place, it's called La Place in Bukavu. Just go and stand at that roundabout and wait there. Maybe you'll see him. So I went to that roundabout, and I can tell you that there were many taxis, yellow taxis, looking like the one that we took to go to that center. So Dr. Abel and his wife were praying, and my wife was praying at the center, and me, I was there at that roundabout praying as well. I was praying, and I started even singing that, I need thee every hour, most gracious, at the roundabout, just looking. Then I called Dr. Abel. I was like, I don't think I'll see this taxi. And then Dr. Abel told me, keep looking, we are praying. And so I kept looking, and then I saw a taxi with black and white stripes. And something told me, that's the one. Go after that taxi. I started running in the street like a crazy man. Started running after the taxi, running. And then the taxi guy had a client. And that client told him, there's someone running after us. Can you please stop? Because I don't understand why this guy is running after us. And by God's grace, it was that guy. It was our taxi. And so the guy told me, you know what? I was to bring back the bag after dropping this client. And I told him, thank you. Thank you. I took my bag and then called Dr. Abel and I told him, God has answered our prayers. Amen. God has answered our prayers. We got the bag. And I can tell you for a fact that that was a miracle, because when we asked around, the people in Bukavu told us, this is rare. no taxi guy can give you back whatever you left in their taxi. Amen? That's the God that we want you to believe in, because he's the God of the impossible. May God bless his word. Amen? Yeah.
Thank you very much, Brother Jeremy. It's offering.